ANZ Voices welcomes you to the Business of Bloodstock podcast with Tim Rowe and Charmaine Bukovec.
Welcome to episode 9 of the ANZ Business of Bloodstock podcast, proudly sponsored by Jimmy Unweller's Avesta Bloodstock. Joining myself, Justin Darcy, and Tim Rowe this week will be Yulong's Harry King, a rising star of the thoroughbred industry, and also Daryl Cooling as part of our Share in Success segment, a part owner of Coolmore Stud Stakes runner, I Am Unstoppable.
It's episode 9 of the Business of Bloodstock podcast, and we're delighted to have Harry King, one of the rising stars of the Australasian racing and breeding industry, and I guess a kingpin of Yulong, obviously arguably the biggest player in the world, and if they're not yet, they soon will be, I'd say. And so welcome to the podcast, Harry.
No, thank you very much, Tim. It's great to be on and appreciate the kind words here. Hopefully we can get a bit of information on Yulong and a bit of what's happening here. But no, it's very exciting to be a part of it.
Well, it's hard to miss what Yulong's done over the last, well, Mr. Zhang's done over the last 10 years, but certainly the last 3 to 5 years in his level of investment. And so everyone's, I guess, fascinated by what's next and what's happening. So hopefully you can provide a little bit of insight into that.
Certainly will. We'll do our best, and hopefully a bit of interesting information for everyone indeed.
I thought, first of all, though, we should find out a little bit about your own background, Harry. You've got, I guess, a very deep thoroughbred pedigree yourself.
Yes, yeah, certainly do. I suppose born and raised on a stud farm in New Zealand. You know, plenty of horses around, and grew up around the animals, and certainly learned a lot working in there, and also the opportunities to travel around the world and learn from different people that way and make connections and build my own network, which is now paying dividends in the role that I've got now.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the little bit of research I did do, your dad's Irish, your mum's English, and you're born in Japan. That sums up the opportunities this industry provides people, I guess.
Oh, it certainly did, and the All Blacks playing the Irish last week, it was a difficult watch, very torn, but look, we'll follow the All Blacks now, but it's certainly an interesting story. I suppose it pays credit to where New Zealand was at as a breeding industry in the early 1990s, when mum and dad moved from Ireland to New Zealand, back to Japan, and then started up a stud farm with a well-known racehorse back then called Bozam. Which was their inaugural stallion, which dual Australian Horse of the Year at the time. Unfortunately, didn't really kick on as a sire, but he certainly paved the way for what is Brighthill Farm now.
I guess as well, obviously, you've been around horses your whole life and grown up around them, and especially in this industry. When did you sort of know that this was your passion and this was going to be where you were going to make a career of yourself?
Probably early to mid 20s, actually. I've just went to school, never really took notice of horses too much, more so the breeding side than the racing side. Rugby was probably our preference to riding horses, and mum and dad were always sort of busy on the farm, so I guess it was just a case of seeing the opportunities that were in front and what you can make of it of anything. Go in with a great attitude and a bit of a work ethic, and just keep your head down and focus and just say yes to as many opportunities as you can. And thankfully, it's like a snowball effect. Once you start going places and meeting people, it just seems to happen. And I had a few jobs in those early 20s when I was trying to get away from horses a little bit. Went to an entry level to become a police officer in New Zealand at the Waikato University, and then took on a business administration role at what would be the comparison in New Zealand to TAFE. Worked in a bookies, and then went up to Ireland for a little bit and managed a chocolate shop. So there was many opportunities, but looking back on it, hindsight now, they were all great because I was learning to deal with different people of society and learning how to relate to them, and of all ages as well. So no, it was probably mid-20s to early 20s, I guess.
I guess from your horse experience, you could have just, your parents and your dad could have just kept you for cheap labour, but they allowed you to travel and go to different farms in Australia and Vinery and Yarraman and, you know, across to Europe as well.
For sure. Don't worry. They definitely got their cheap labour. They had four kids. So there's three siblings there and they made us pay our rent. It was great. But it was definitely, obviously, just from what we touched on a second ago, Dad's Irish, Mum's English. So there is a relationship there in New Zealand to stay, but there, I guess it's in the blood, I suppose, to go out and see the world. And Mum and Dad were incredibly supportive of that, if not maybe too supportive as an 18-year-old kicked out and sent to Scone, as Benji and I were. And the same to, we both spent time in Hong Kong with the Breeze Up Horses with Bruce Harvey, and then sent up to Ireland and England to just see a bit of what was happening up there and learn as much as we can. And it certainly paid dividends for the farm back home. You could always bring back ideas. Dad was very open and open to them. And we could sort of put our own twist on what may have been happening in a yearling prep or you know, on the stallion barn at home. So it all works out in different ways. But very happy with how it's all panned out.
I'm sure you're happy at Yulong at the moment. But touching on, you know, Bright Hill and your dad, Nick, the stallion game for anyone, even Yulong size, is tough going. There's a lot of misses. How's Bright Hill going? I mean, you sold some nice horses at Karaka sort of earlier this year. So, and then, you know, Yulong Prep will be starting for that sale very soon as well.
It's going well. Preferment seems to be getting plenty of winners for them. Eminent has just had a very tidy winner called Fond Memories with Tiakel Racing. Eminent's a son of Frankel that was raced by Sir Peter Valor, and he has a good profile. So there's another horse with Chris Waller that's going to the Geelong Classic to keep an eye on for those classic three-year-old races, called Dulcet. He was bred by Wentworth Grange, and so there's sort of, he's a younger horse that's got his first three-year-olds coming through now, but the stallion games, it's certainly tough. If it kicks off, but it's getting that good stallion, and it will happen, as it does for any farm. We're just here at Yulong, we were only joking that Alabama Express's first run as a winner, and Grunt as a first, you know, Group 1 placed horse in his first crop, and Pierrard's first runner in Victoria's a stake winner. So Mr. Zhang might think the whole game's easy. So it all plays it in its own roundabouts. But now the stallion game's good. It's often tricky in New Zealand, I suppose, with the broodmare population as well. You're working with, there's five or six major stud farms there that would hold market share with those that broodmare band in New Zealand. So to tap into that, it's usually investors from Australia that you're trying to work with, whether it's the shareholder group and those stallions. So that's the big part of it. And it's, I suppose it's trickier to kick one off in New Zealand versus Victoria, I find, in my own opinion.
There is a little bit of stallion depth in New Zealand at the moment. Obviously, Prasir and Savabeel, the stalwart of which Mr. Zhang supported heavily, and Al-Manzor's encouraging. There's a little bit to look forward to for the Kiwis.
Absolutely, I think that's understating it a little bit. You've also got Per Encanto there, and as you touched on, Al-Manzor, Satono, Aladdin, Prasir, Savabeel. Termy Loose had a pretty handy year, I guess, as well, over there. And then all these younger horses coming through, that Stefanos went out and got a Group 1 winning 2-year-old in his first crop. So I think across the board, it'll be trickier to get that Karaka Book 1 catalogue looks pretty good, and it's they definitely deserve it because the breeders over there are so passionate in what they do and very positive in any industry, and it's nice to see them kicking goals, to put it bluntly.
We just touched on two of your first season sires before with Parada and Alabama Express. It must be an exciting time for the team at Yulong with, I guess, two sires who weren't necessarily two-year-olds themselves, but, you know, two runners, two winners, it's exciting.
Certainly is exciting. There's a lot to keep up with from the day-to-day runners. There's always, I suppose, three or four horses that are entered. You look at Alabama Express, he's got two-year-olds entered tomorrow, and they're possible, they're good chances. So two different states. So, the horses are putting their hands up Obviously, Grunt, with what V8 has done for that stallion already, is just a cherry on the top. His first three-year-olds will race this spring, which we'll see the absolute best of them, and into an autumn campaign then as well. So he's got a lot going for him. He had some fantastic support from breeders and Yulong as well in his first three crops, still does as well. So Pierada will, he's got horses all over the shop. So he's got them up in Queensland and in Sydney. We saw Fearless run fourth in the group race there for two-year-olds. So he's got Coleman running around now. He's won that stakes race there on Wednesday, the two-year-old Depion Stakes. So yeah, it's plenty happening for these horses. And it's just, I think what they do at two is great, and three is just even better. So it's all in front of them now, and they've all had their perfect chances to put their best foot forward.
On Pirata, talking to Sam Fairgrey the other day after Coleman won, and I saw Fearless at the trials, James Harron bought Colt. Their temperament seems to be one of their big assets, from the small sample size that I saw, and obviously what Sam's hearing from the Yulong horses and just trainers in general.
For sure. I think that Coleman, I had someone text me that he was like a panther in the yard. He was just so cool, calm and collected, walked around really well. So we're seeing a lot of that. We don't have too many Pieratas on the farm here, so I'll have to admit that I haven't seen too many. When we were at the yearling sales, we were busy selling our own yearlings, to be honest, so I didn't get the chance to get around and see too many. But the telling is how many people have booked into him this year off the back of his first two crops. So it's incredibly positive with the stock, and there's too many good judges saying good things about them to ignore it and just take it as, as words. So yeah, we're very happy with what we've seen or the team has at the sales. And that was one of the reasons that we looked into securing him for the stud duties here at Yulong.
One boy that's interested many breeders here, especially in Victoria, is your Japanese stallion, Diatonic. Would you be able to tell us, I guess, how he's taken to the stallion life now at Yulong?
He's taken really well. A lot of these Japanese sires, they do retire a bit later, so maturely he's got a great brain on him. He mates up physically incredibly well with a lot of these, I suppose, bigger mares that might look at a bit short muscle, sort of Japanese blood, something a bit different that we haven't seen here in Victoria a lot. So he's been received quite well. I think it's a case when you stand a stallion that's not by a colonial son or from a family that people aren't really familiar with, it takes a little while to, in a sense, educate them. He's not a son of Deep Impact. He's a son of Lord Kenaloa. So it's something a bit different, both elite sires in their own right, elite racehorses. And it's just a case of explaining the bloodline of Lord Kenaloa, the physicalities that they can leave. And geez, aren't we fortunate that we've got Tagaloa in the box next to him to pull out and explain this is what a Lord Kenaloa is. It's a blue diamond winner. He's been well received. He's going to get some great support from Mr. Zhang. We're sending some really nice mares to him this season, a couple Group 1 winners as well. But look, he's going to mate up very well with mares in Victoria, and I think we're going to see a lot from him. It's exciting times for both those horses.
We've seen with Hormore's done it a bit, trying to, I guess, make stallions, for want of a better word, with sending elite mares that could go to proven stallions, like they did with Justify, which looks like paying off. But Mr. Zhang's doing that as well. Obviously, got the proven style with Written Tycoon, but sending some great mares to these young, unproven stallions to give them every chance of success.
100%. He's certainly not sort of missed out on it. And these are only the mares that we know of their race records. And you kind of go through our stud book, and we're so grateful to work here with these mares and be a part of their own second part of their career. Sometimes you may forget about them when they've retired, and you only remember when they've got a runner out of them. So they're all getting very well support. They'll cover, I suppose, 60 or so mares of our own each, and they're all at different stages of their stallion career. So you want to give them a good kickstart for the first two or three years, and then just maybe sit back a little bit and just see what the types that they leave you, and then you can start mating on, I suppose, what you know about the mare, because we don't know much about the mares. We all know about their race records, but we don't know about how they're going to act there as a mother, the type of foal that they may leave. So we're trying to work in with that. And but look, as you've touched on there, Justify, if one of these stallions can kick, which at the moment we've got three in a really positive position, then we'll be in a great space. And to be honest, I'm finding it now talking to breeders that a lot of them are planning to use our stallions this year and next year to breed off the back of the mares that we've sent to these horses like Tagaloa. 10% of his book over the last 2 years was stakes winning mares. So we're now finding people will launch into a Tagaloa this year knowing that they'll be selling off the back of his first two-year-olds and three-year-olds on the track. So it's very exciting, and or if all of these stallions have every chance, and we'll find out pretty quick if they're half the chop or not. Because as we touched on earlier, it's a tough game, and you want to have all the percentages you can in your favour.
So you've been there for about 2 years now at Yulong, and I guess when you started, Yulong wasn't as big as they are now, of course, but this growth over the last 2 years has been absolutely phenomenal. Is this something that you expected when you started, or, you know, what's been your perception of the last 2 years? Because, you know, to the general public eye, it's been enormous.
Probably had a bit of an incline to the size of Mr. Zhang and his vision. As I touched on before, I was fortunate enough to be working in Ireland for a couple of years. He's a big player up in Ireland for a long time. And to be honest, I've actually met Mr. Zhang 2 years prior to coming to Yulong at our stud farm in New Zealand. He owns just under half of Preferment. He later purchased into him. So he came out to the farm and incredibly knowledgeable, which is what took my eye to come and work for Mr. Zhang. His memory of pedigrees, his knowledge of broodmares is second to none. So that was 2 years prior to actually being offered a role here through Troy Stevens at the time. But to answer your question, probably not to the size of it is now. I knew I had a bit of an idea that he'd become a big player in what we were doing in the industry. But to see what it's done now and the size it's become and in the time frame it's happened, probably not, to answer your question. But I always had in the back of my mind that this, I suppose, a man's a perfectionist. He knows what he wants, and he'll go after what he wants, and there's always a reason behind it. So feeling very fortunate to be in this position, but no, it works out well.
What sort of insight can you provide about Mr. Zhang from us, you know, fortunately enough, being at pretty much every sale and able to observe Mr. Zhang and the team at the sales? He seems so passionate. I'm told he loves being at the farm and helping foal down or checking on the stallions and things like that. But he just seems to love the sales process, whether he's, you'll change it up, bid live or bid on the over the internet, just to, you know, keep everyone on their toes.
I suppose there's nothing really at what you've just touched on is basically it. The man is an absolute perfectionist. He loves his animals, loves, you know, this farm here at Yulong. He's incredibly passionate about it. That's probably what took my eye. Was the interesting story is he wasn't actually able to come out to the farm for 2 years. So while it was all being built, he was back in China due to COVID and the restrictions that the government had on people entering and leaving Australia. So he's built all of this in China via probably what we're doing now via Zoom. But he loves his bloodlines and the pedigree research and knowledge is amazing. And as an employee to see that, see him, you know, out on the farm looking through the foals, himself and Sam and the team will go around the paddocks looking at what we're going to offer for sale and what we may retain. It's very motivating. His work ethic is second to none, incredible perfectionist. And very much just what I'm assuming is hopefully loving the ride of it all, because there's a lot to come forward now, and we're getting some great success on the racetrack too. So all these things culminate into positivity, and we've just got to do our part and being a part of it, really.
You just mentioned about what horses that you may retain going forward to race. I guess with the Magic Million sale coming up especially, would you be able to give us a little bit of, you know, info about the types of horses that you're sending up to the Gold Coast, and I guess what you might be looking for up there as well?
We're just confirming all that at the moment. But what I can give you an idea is we've got Written Tycoons going up there, Zoo Stars, possibly an I'm Invincible as well. But the Tagaloas will be well found up there. We're going to send up some absolute crackers. Generally, with that sale, you want to be sending your more forward stock. So sort of work in with that and then go off what might suit with pedigree. In terms of buying horses, two-year-olds are probably what we'll be looking for up there, although the sale is an amazing sale with a fantastic list of graduates in all parts of the racing jurisdictions, older horses, young horses, sprinters, middle distance. So you can get pretty much anything from there, but I'm sure the team, they'll be going up there looking for two-year-olds, and hopefully we can secure a few with a few trainers and teams like that. But in terms of our own crop, we're really excited to offer the first lot, I suppose, of Tagaloas. He was a Blue Diamond winner himself, an exceptional two-year-old that was just so tough and fast at two. So we'll be excited for that. Lucky Vega will have a feature there. His stock are probably, they're looking like more type-wise Melbourne Premier or Sydney Classic. Just gives them that little bit month to grow into themselves. But the Tagaloas, they'll run through a brick wall if you ask them to. They are exceptional.
With the sheer numbers, and maybe you're not in a position to answer this with, you know, obviously Vin Cox is coming on board and Sam Fairgrey, but with those sheer numbers, and we hear talk, could Mr. Zhang hold his own sale to sort of split all these horses up at some stage, do you think? Give us an exclusive, Harry.
Exclusive. Geez, I think we'll all find out together, to be honest. I don't know. I don't know, but it's a fascinating conversation to have, and I'm sure people have had it. He's, just look at the recruitment. He's got a previous employee of New Zealand Bloodstock, a previous employee of Inglis, and a previous employee of Magic Millions. So maybe he knows something that we don't know yet. But, I don't know. It may happen. He has auctions up in China that are very successful and people are very receptive of. So I don't think it'll happen in the near future. I don't think we need that on the list of to-dos, build an auditorium.
We should touch on your time at NZB, the hospitality manager. Looking after the people in the press box there at Karaka, they're hard work, those journos, aren't they? Hard to please.
Mate, the journos, I think the journos were easy. You give them a sandwich and they're happy. That lamb in the far lap room, if that was a little bit overcooked, I had a few phone calls from a few Aussie trainers upset. I think it's probably, that was you asked earlier about the career change. That was probably it. Justin was being offered that amazing opportunity to work at New Zealand Bloodstock for three and a half years. So it was an interesting story that I'd just come back from Ireland prepping yearlings and working out on farms. I'd never booked a hotel room in my life. And Danny Ralston rang up and said, oh, Victoria Valor's looking at having a bit of time away and we're looking for someone to come and work at New Zealand Bloodstock. And I thought, oh, this will be great. I'll go and work in the Bloodstock team or just be a part of the animal side of it. And he said, no, mate, we need a hospitality coordinator. So, and you can do a bit of marketing while you're there as well. But so I was well out of my comfort zone doing it. But it's one of those things you just say yes to and there'll be opportunities that arise. And to be honest, we may all laugh about it, but it was the turning point for me now, and particularly in the role that I've got now. Learning how to negotiate contracts with places like Hilton Hotels, Cordis, the Accor Group. You're sitting down in the meeting room with the GM nailing out rates for hotel rooms, which was a massive eye-opener. But you're also dealing with some of the elite people in the industry that would travel over to New Zealand for the Karaka sales. So learning a little bit more about the trainers and who works at what stable, and doing that for 2 years through eight different sales was a massive turning point for me, and it also helped learning how to deal with the Mr. Zhangs of the world, and then also the country trainer that's coming over for book two, and in between that you've got the corporate hospitality side of the viaduct in Auckland, and it was a massive learning curve and a very busy time of life, to be honest with you, but no, it worked out well. It was an exciting time. So shout out to Danny Ralston for giving me that role. It was good.
Just touching on careers while we're there as well, I guess, as Tim said, you're a rising star in the industry and someone who I think a lot of young people looking up and, you know, trying to idolize someone in the industry could look up to someone like you. And, you know, I guess, have you got any advice for someone who's, you know, maybe early 20s and looking to find themselves a career in this industry? And, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be with horses. It can be, you know, behind a desk. It can be absolutely anywhere. That's the beauty about this industry. There's so many opportunities. I guess, have you got any advice for someone who's looking for something?
Yeah, good question. I think it's worth noting that you touching on that. You don't have to go and muck out boxes for 60 years to be involved in the industry or work out riding horses. There are so many different opportunities and different waves. If you enjoy the marketing side of it, you can, like myself, go and work at, try and get a job first at New Zealand Bloodstock and work for them in the marketing team. Or if you're into the training side of it, go and work under a major stable. But I think that a couple points on what I would say is try as many different things as you can, even if it's not the role that you want to settle into. Just give it time, spend 6 months there. No one's going to get upset if you sit to say, look, this isn't for me. Everyone's happy to help people out. So even myself, I do get a few people contacting, asking for questions on what career options there are in the industry. But just be very open-minded and what opportunities could roll on from an offer from a company or a stud farm. And as I said, if it's not for you, that's fine. You've given it a go, you've ticked it off and onto the next opportunity or something that you realise. I suppose speaking from the stud side of it, what I would say is if you were looking at getting into a nominations role or a marketing or sales role, is definitely go and work on a stud farm. Work on a stud farm in the breeding part of it with the broodmares, then track on to the yearling side of it as well. Now, the reason I say that is you have to understand the struggles that some breeders may go through getting these mares involved, and you got to understand the procedures that it takes to actually get a mare in that barn, covered under that stallion, and then the 11 months later to actually having that foal alive. And the reason I say the yearling side of it is it gets your eye into, again, realizing what a breeder may go through, whether they're a big breeder, small breeder, you can relate. So that's what I would say, travel as much as you can. It's a great game. I've been fortunate to travel to and worked in Hong Kong, Ireland, England, Australia, and obviously New Zealand, but never paid for a plane ticket. And all through that time, travelled from 17 to 24, I suppose. So it's a great game. Get out, enjoy it, say yes, and just get amongst it, I think.
Just touching on some changes that have happened at Yulong in the recent weeks as well. Recently appointing Vin Cox as general manager, obviously, you know, a major player at Godolphin. And, you know, I guess the reasoning behind putting him on and bringing him over with so much experience behind Dali, I guess, you know, a strategic move. Would you be able to tell us a little bit of insight around that decision?
I suppose you've touched on it all. He's coming from a stud farm that's well established. The processes they would have in at Dali now would be second to none. So I'd say it's an incredibly positive move for not only Yulong but Victoria as a whole to have someone in an operation down here. I know Northwood Park's set up, but to have him here at the sole operation of Yulong is incredibly exciting. And not only does Vin bring his knowledge of wealth, but the access to clientele now that I may have as a salesman to working with breeders, it's great. And I think everyone is incredibly positive about it here at the farm. I'm not entirely sure that the protocols he's starting on the 1st of December, as the press release has said. I'm not entirely sure how the split is worked up in terms of that. I've sort of been focusing on all the sales with the stallion side of it, to be honest. It's all happening, but I'm incredibly excited to be working alongside and under Vin. More so, you're tapping into a new knowledge set and hopefully can make a good impression and see where things can go here at Yulong. But having him appointed is incredibly exciting.
Should say this podcast's proudly sponsored by Vesta Bloodstock's Jimmy Onwalla. So if Mr. Jang's looking for an outside agent just to help in the buying team, I'm sure Jimmy had put his hand up. So thanks, Jimmy, for your support of this podcast. You're firmly entrenched in Victoria now. Can we call you a Victorian, Harry?
Possibly. Maybe if the Melbourne Rebels got a bit better, you could. But I'm purely a Waikato Chiefs man. Support the Warriors as well some days. But maybe. Like, I'm loving life in Victoria. I thoroughly enjoy the state. I think where Yulong is located is perfect for myself. We're only an hour north of the major airport, an hour north of Flemington, 50 to Moonee Valley. So for someone that's now 29 and looking to have a bit of a, you know, equal out the work balance with the going to the races or going to the footy or getting on an aeroplane, it's a great place to be, Victoria. And once you look at the stallion rosters, the investment in the state from people, you know, written tycoons out there, Toronado, Seamus Award, Pierrata, you know, that it's a real hype about Victoria, and I think it's incredibly exciting. It's a great place to raise stock and also, you know, just work pretty much. It's very happy with it all.
The AFL Grand Final was only a few weeks ago. Surely you've adopted a AFL team.
Yeah, mate, up the Pies.
Okay, we'll just finish this podcast now.
As a Brisbane supporter, it disappoints me that.
Yeah. AFL's a great game, isn't it?
It is, except when you're long-suffering Essendon supporter, but it is a great game.
I think, well, there's almost that many Kiwis in Australia working now in good positions that we could probably start our own AFL team.
You probably could. You probably could. You mentioned the Goulburn Valley, the food bowl of Victoria. Any recommended restaurants in the region or your favourite food there?
There's a great spot, a cafe in Kilmore called Raphael. They do amazing coffee there. So if you're ever driving through Kilmore, pop in there. It's on the main street on the left. They do great toasties. And actually, Blake Shin was in there the other week. So it must be a little bit of a good spot for people to stop in and have a cuppa.
Awesome. Well, Harry, thank you so much, mate, for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you and, I guess, learning about your career and a bit more about Yulong as well. So, yeah, we do thank you, and our listeners, they'll definitely enjoy this one.
A share in success, shining a spotlight on ownership success stories.
Welcome to the ANZ Bloodstock News, a share in success segment. Today joining me is Daryl Cooling, a part owner of I'm Unstoppable, running in Saturday's Coolmore Stud Stakes. As we know, the horse did have a couple of x-ray issues at the sale and was a reasonably cheap buy, sold via Twitter, and now Daryl is a vested owner of the horse. So Daryl, welcome on.
Thanks, Justin. Great to be on.
Now tell me a little bit about the story here. So you mentioned to me off air that you bought via Twitter, and of course we know the horse was sold at Magics for $60,000 to Lloyd Kenwell. Just tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, look, it was obviously a pretty quick purchase, so we didn't have too long to wait, and we knew that it was going to go pretty quick. Wade Presley and I have been involved in a number of horses over the years, and we saw this particular one, and we thought if there's any chance of getting involved in a I'm Invincible cult, this will be the one that we'll get involved at, and even better that it was only, you know, 65 grand at the sale. So had an x-ray issue, but nothing that we sort of thought, Lloyd thought at the time, that it would be detrimental to his racing career and something that he could work with. And as it turned out, we only had probably a couple of hours to act on that post, and we did, and we found the needle in the haystack.
That's absolutely phenomenal. And, of course, his career couldn't have started any better. Two straight wins kicking off at Morpheville Parks before going on to winning at Listed Grade at Sandown. It's obviously, you know, a pretty exciting story there. Have you been involved in a stakes winner before at all?
No, we haven't, no. We've had a number of horses over the time. And actually, we had one that raced on Derby Day. And as you know, you sort of get involved in these horses to have a little bit of fun with some mates at the races and have a couple of good days out and hope that you win a race or hope that you win a Saturday class race. But this has by far been our best to date. We did have, as I said, we had one that raced on Derby Day in the actual Derby a number of years ago called Costa Nova. Unfortunately, wasn't favoured in the race and went into that race as a maiden, but finished sort of midfield. It was just great to experience the day. And of course, when I'm Unstoppable had two wins to open his campaign, we were pretty excited that, we've got a good one.
He's tracking along very nicely this prep. He's been competitive in the Vane Stakes, Poseidon and the Dane Hill as well. And as you sort of go through his form, he's been competitive with the likes of Cylinder and King's Gambit, who are both the equal favourites for Saturday's Group 1. And you guys are around a 9-1 shot. To me, you guys probably look a little underrated in the market.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that first up run against Cylinder were out the back and obviously came with a sweeping run out at Caulfield there. And of course, we didn't quite get the get to the line, and we sort of peaked on its run probably maybe, 50 metres out, and we thought we'd have some improvement. Obviously, Cylinder had some improvement as well and running a great race recently in the Everest. So, and then King's Gambit down the straight, we might be a bit of change of tactics come Saturday. We might be also out the back as well, perhaps, but with a little bit of cover. But we've certainly matched it with the best, and we think that this has always been a grand final of his. So, and I've always worked towards that, and think that this is grand final day, and we're ready to win.
Now, in terms of the group that you've got together in this horse, would you be able to tell me a little bit about them? I know we've got a couple of Gippslanders in the horse, so it's great to see, the Gippslanders having a bit of success, or hopefully a bit of Group 1 success on the big stage on Saturday.
Yeah, it is good. We've sort of been involved with a number of horses over the time, and a few have sort of jumped in for the first time. So a couple of owners in this particular share that we've got are first-time owners, which is unbelievable for them. They think the Cape is pretty easy, but we've had some good times over the years, and we all sort of got together. We were actually looking for a particular horse a little bit earlier, and we'd had a bigger group sort of together, and they'd all indicated they were keen to get involved, and we found one, and unfortunately we sort of dragged our heels a little bit, and we didn't actually get the share that we were looking for. I think it was a New Zealand yearling at the time, and can't remember who actually purchased it. It might have been Nick Price, but we ended up not going into that particular one. We missed out, and then a couple of weeks later, Lloyd posted this one on Twitter, and half the group decided that they weren't quite ready for it. We knew that we only had a couple of hours to act and to get our share in order, but a few jumped off, and a few of them who stuck strong, and now the six of us that we've got. In the small share, we're looking okay. We remind the other guys of it daily that they've missed out on something special.
Now, the best part about horse ownership, in my opinion anyway, is sort of bringing in your mates and getting together and, having success, whether it's at Stony Creek, Flemington, but just, the opportunity to be winning a Group 1 with a horse like this with some good mates who you've had horses with before and, bringing in a couple of the new guys, it must be just a fantastic feeling for you all involved.
Yeah, it is. You're exactly right. That's that is the reason why you do get involved. That you have that sort of chat throughout the week. I mean, the build up towards even the Group 2 and the Group 3 races that we've raced in has been fantastic. We're making a weekend of it. We're heading down, Friday night, Saturday night. Of course, we've got a few plans Saturday night, depending how the race goes. But and that's what it's all about. You get together, you have a good day out at a fantastic event. It doesn't matter where it is. It just so happens that this week's on probably Australia's greatest racing day, Derby Day, and we've got a runner in the Coolmore. It doesn't get any better than this, and it is an exciting sort of build-up to it. We're in constant chatter with each other and throwing things around. A few of the guys, as I said, their first time ownership into a particular horse, I dare say it won't be their last.
Especially if you win the Coolmore, I can guarantee you might buy something worth a little more than what this bloke was purchased for at the sales anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, all right, so the dam here, Satin Slipper, she was a debutante Gymcrack winner. She was by Piero and, of course, your colt is by I'm Invincible, Australia's best stallion, and, looks to be on track to do so once again this year. It's just incredible that you guys managed to get involved in a horse like this. It's a rarity that we do see an I'm Invincible go through the ring for as cheap as this bloke did.
Absolutely, and that was the one reason why we knew we had to act quickly. Wade Presley and I, as I said, we always look at the sales, and we've been down to a few of them as well, and we never thought that you'd find an I'm Invincible for that price. And then it obviously got passed through, and Lloyd made the call pretty quickly afterwards and managed to get hold of it. So it's fantastic that we... that we were able to get in this share, and the way that Lloyd's done it. Lloyd has been fantastic right throughout the process of it all as well. And obviously now Lucy, who's come on board with it as well. So it's it is exciting, and we never thought we'd get an I'm Invincible colt, to be fair, and we have, and he goes okay.
And I guess dreaming big now, let's pretend that you guys do win on Saturday. The dream comes true. What would be your next dream in racing after this? You know, maybe a trip overseas with him? Would it be, you know, take on the Everest next year? There's plenty of options around for a horse like I'm Unstoppable.
Yeah, there is plenty of options. And I guess that who knows what will happen if he wins. It is a stud-making race, of course, as you know. And we get the sense that maybe one of those might sort of come knocking on the door and offer something that might be just too good to refuse. We'd love to continue racing him. I just get a feeling that, one of those stud farms might offer something up that's too good to knock back. And at the end of the day, they can go off and do their thing. Look, there are some great races. We'd love to, you know, continue racing it. But, you know, being a small shareholder, we'll toe the line and we'll sort of see what happens, see what comes of it. But I'll tell you what, we might be only a small shareholder, but come Saturday, if it wins, we might be the loudest.
Doing the Gippslanders proud, Darryl. I love it.
Absolutely.
Now, thank you very much for coming on, mate. Very much appreciated. Good luck for Saturday, and fingers crossed that you guys do take home the chocolates there. It'll be an absolute day to remember for you all.
Thanks, Justin. Looking forward to it.